Radio. Certainly livened up this board and also the microphone, and I know we can't bring you on until after the music quits, so hang in there. You're listening to On the Air with Glenn Coble and Scott Spears. Scott is the boss. I should have given him first billing, but I forgot to do that. And interesting interview with Mr. Renacci, and we'll be talking about a lot of things, I'm sure. Hang on there. We got about 5 seconds left to go, and then Scott will join us as the music fades away to nothing. Hey, Scott, you there?
I am here. As the music fades away to nothing, I fade in.
Excellent. All right.
Well, here's the big thing. You want to talk about a big news morning right off the bat here. As I sent a message to Glenn last Friday.
I'm Glenn.
I came into the studio along with Sean on Friday afternoon. And because if you listened last Wednesday, there were some issues with the telephone.
It was horrible.
It was a messy day.
It
happens in radio. Equipment's not perfect. And I came in on Friday, and I put the microphones back where they needed to be, and I tested the phone, and I had Sean call me on the line to see if he could hear me, and I put the microphone volumes where they needed to be, and I even taped a nice little index card there on the board.
I see it.
Glenn,
yeah.
What do you think?
Well, the true test of the of how good you did is when Dr. Feynman calls in today and he can't hear me, all heck is going to break loose.
Well, I tell you, if that it is not on our end at this point,
yeah.
Because I that's why I brought Sean with me. I said, "Can you hear me through the phone?" And he could. So
yeah.
If God forbid he can't hear you for some reason, just pick that green mic up and bring it over there again, but there really shouldn't be any problem.
Okay, I'm using the yellow one right now, is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, are the levels moving up high?
Yeah,
to the green?
Yeah, mine are.
Be working then.
Now, yours are not as high.
They shouldn't be because I'm crosstown.
Okay, it takes a little of the juice away, huh? Oh,
yeah,
my.
Somebody will call us during this program and let us know if they can hear you.
Okay.
Because we were having problems with that during the first program last week.
Yeah.
I think what happens is people come in and they change the knobs, and they don't put them back the way they were.
Right.
And that's what was happening. So, as of Friday, there shouldn't be any trouble. And now is the note card still taped to the soundboard?
It is. And
now let the listening audience know what it says.
It says, "Do not mess with board settings." And now that means I assume all the things that are right under that little card, because I always adjust the headphone volume because these headphones are very loud in my ears. But
well,
then I put it back.
Sign.
I'm sorry?
It's a good sign. Because didn't when we start out last week, you couldn't hear
I couldn't hear anything. Well, as a matter of fact, when Dr. Feynman called, I couldn't hear him either. I heard him through the radio, but I didn't hear him through my headphones. So I had to listen through the radio side, the speaker side. So
yeah, something was obviously amiss last week.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, anyway, we got through that, right? Oh, you said there was other stuff today. What else has happened? My wife told me this morning, I was so angry after the mass shooting again, and I said, I know I'm gonna talk about it on the air. And she said, oh, please don't do that. I said, why not? She said, somebody might come over here and want to hurt us. And I said, that's what all the German people said in 1940, and I'm not going to stand by. If you want to come over and hurt me, that's okay. I'm going to talk about it, whether it's on our show, Scott, or whether it's on my show with Dr. Feynman, or tomorrow. I may be talking about it for a long time to come.
Well, go ahead. I mean, I certainly feel that, as I've always said, this station is a public forum, and as long as we're within FCC guidelines, opinions are opinions.
Yeah, and mine are truly opinions, I hope that, and I know I will offend some people, because I'm going to call people names, like liars and murderers, that sort of thing. But I don't understand how, and listening to Mr. Renacci this morning, I thought it was interesting that I should be thinking about that sort of thing. The fact that he said he would not vote for Nan Whaley because she's a Democrat, well, he actually said because she's too progressive for him, I think that's what he said, or she has too many progressive thoughts. I would like to hear what those progressive thoughts are, because she's not progressive enough for me. But anyway, to say that you won't vote for somebody, I would never say I won't vote for a Republican just because he's a Republican. That's not my style. I will vote for the person that I think could do the best job for my children, my grandchildren, my wife and I, and my community. And the reason why I ran for office is because I wanted to at least help. I knew darn well that Ohio is kind of tied up by the Republican Party right now through gerrymandering, and also because there are more Republicans in the state, apparently. I knew the chance of me having any shot at it were slim and none. But I also knew that the lady I was running against, Tracy Richardson, is pro-gun and she's anti-abortion, and those are two things that I find unconscionable. And that's why I ran, to be able to get out there and say what I believed. And I think we should allow all people to say what they believe. We should allow Mr. Renacci to say exactly what he believes, but he shouldn't vote for somebody because they have an R next to their name. I think that's ignorant. And tomorrow I'm going to talk about ignorance, by the way.
Well, you know, I'm certainly not in the business of defending running for office who has run for office. But this is what I'll say about Jim Renacci. Yes, he says he doesn't want to vote for Nan Whaley, and that is his right. He doesn't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But the reason he was on this morning is because he's attacking the lieutenant governor.
Yeah, I heard
saying
that.
You need to be off this board. This is wrong. You shouldn't be making this money. The governor should be speaking on it. You should be speaking on it. So even though he's not giving the Democrat his nod, he is attacking his own party heavy in the news, and I don't see a whole lot of people doing that.
And he hit that, Mr. Renacci hit that particular problem on the nail head. We should never have people, well, now we're finding out how many billions of dollars people made under Mr. Trump waiting till they got out of office and then cashing in. The people should not be on boards like that who have control over some of those boards. You should step aside. And I don't mean just verbally step aside. I mean you should get out of the business of being on the financial boards like that. I agree with Mr. Renacci, absolutely. I'd vote for him if that's the choice I had.
Well, he certainly is not doing... like I said, he certainly did not say Nan Whaley was a good choice, but
no,
he's certainly not saying Mike DeWine is a good choice either. And even if he's saying that he's there is still a chance that he would vote for DeWine. He's certainly not doing that campaign any favors by going on shows and releasing statements like that.
Yeah, and I think we have an awful lot of Republicans that are pretty tough on Mr. DeWine as well. Of all the Republican governors that we've had, he and Kasich are probably closer to the center than most of the other ones. So I'm going to give Mr. DeWine a little bit of a break. Not a lot.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting to me that Jim Renacci, and I have no reason not to disbelieve him, I found it interesting that he said when he released this statement yesterday that the reason the lieutenant governor and the governor and the Republicans that he talked to yesterday felt that he can do this is because there's no way that the Democrats going to win.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what we talked about last week, mm-hmm. that the Democrats in Ohio over the last 8 years will tell you that they're going to win up until Election Day. And you say to them, listen, the Democrats aren't winning in Ohio. I don't think we have an elected statewide official except Sherrod Brown, who's a Democrat in Ohio. And they'll tell you, no, it's going to be different this time because of A, B, C, D, E. Well, we've been through about at least four big election cycles, presidential, two gubernatorials here in Ohio, where and the day after you can't find the Democrats who were running for office. They've all went to the side. And, you know, I think Jim Renacci speaks the truth in a way. I think after 8 years of this, the Republican Party statewide feels that it doesn't matter what they do because they're going to win.
Well, and that makes me mad as hell. I'm sorry, FCC. That makes me madder than a hornet. But I looked at the young lady who's running against Jim Jordan, and I'm sure she's a wonderful person. I'm sure she has fine, well, she doesn't have fine credentials, but I'm sure she will do a better job, I believe, than what Jim Jordan would do. But she's virtually a no-name, and I have not heard much from her, and that's not that far away. The reason why I looked is I thought, well, if nobody's decided that they want to run against Jim, I'll run again, darn it. And then I found out it was too late. I couldn't sign up to run. I wish I had. I truly wish I had looked at the time frame on when you have to sign up to run, because I would have, if I had known who we were going to put up against Jim Jordan, I would have run, quite frankly. And I ran out of anger and also out of honesty. And those are the two reasons why I ran.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very ironic to me that Mr. Renacci basically said exactly the point that I was trying to convey on this show last week, was that if this were Rich Cordray running again, the Democrats could win.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
But and I'm not saying anything negative about Nan Whaley. She's been very good to this program.
She has.
She's very good. But the problem that lies with Nan Whaley is it is uncharted territory, and I even hate that we have to bring it up. But we've never had a woman nominated mm-hmm. by one of the two major parties in the 102 years that women have had the right to vote. And we've never had a female governor elected in the 102 years that we have had the right to vote. Here in Marion, we've never had a female mayor in the 102 years that we've had the right to vote. Now, you can just say, well, you know, that's convoluted thinking, but we'll talk the day after Election Day.
It's like, and as you know, I'm and you are too, Cub fan. Unfortunately, we're not doing very well this year, but we're both baseball fans, and I'm going to use a baseball analogy. It's like walking up to the plate and being handed two strikes right off the bat. She's a woman, and she doesn't have any background in particularly what she's going to be running for. That's two strikes, but it doesn't mean you can't hit a home run and win the game.
No.
She right. could do that sort of thing, and as a Democrat, I hope she does. I think she would be a better candidate as far as her philosophy goes, then yeah, why can't I forget remember our governor's name?
DeWine.
Thank you. I think she has a better philosophy. She's more empathetic. She cares about the people, and I believe that DeWine also cares about the people. That's why I say he's one of the lesser of the evils, and I don't really think he's evil. I just think he's out of touch.
Well, here's what's confusing about me, and maybe somebody can answer this, and I understand the party stance will be you're wrong in even saying this, but as an observer, here's why this is an issue. This time around in the gubernatorial election. Everybody has known since 2020 that the Republican Party has turned on Mike DeWine in Ohio.
Yeah.
It's COVID. A sitting governor has not been primaried in 130 years in Ohio. He was primaried. Mm-hmm. Not only was he primaried, he lost 24 counties in the primary. That's more than a quarter of the primary are counties. He only got 48% of the Republican vote in the primary. The legislature voted to take away his powers when it came to health orders. The business people are angry at him. He's not a strong governor within his own party. So he is vulnerable for defeat in a state that tends to vote Republican governors in. But why the Democrats, and again, the two candidates were mayors, and not particularly well-known mayors.
Correct.
You would think if this were the time that the Democrats wanted to take back the gubernatorialship in Ohio, that they would have went to somebody who had real good name recognition, really good there's a chance, but they have now nominated, and it is an anomaly because it's the first time it's ever happened for a woman in the state, and that's great, but usually you want something like that to happen coming off of a strong Democratic governor.
Well, and I think you're absolutely right that Cordray would have been the more wise choice, but I'm not sure that he was willing to do it.
No, I don't think Cordray would have done it, but I think there were other people who could have.
Oh, sure there.
I do believe.
Well, Nan had some name recognition because she is the mayor of a fairly large city in Ohio, but I can't think of other than Cordray, another person. We could get Strickland back, but he's getting pretty long in tooth, much like yours truly, but...
What about Dennis Kucinich? He ran last time.
That's true, but he kind of has one of those... like wearing wool. He can kind of itch inside. I don't know. I like him. I got to meet him when I was running, and we had a good little conversation, and I liked him a lot, but I don't know.
Well, what about some of the people who hold office in Ohio who maybe would rather be governor? You know, governor's a pretty strong position. Sherrod Brown, like Joyce Beatty, like Marcy Kaptur. No interest to any of those people? What about David Pepper, the former head of the Republican or Democratic Party here in Ohio?
I think
it's interesting Tim Ryan chose to run for Senate and not for governor.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I think he felt he could do more good for the nation running for Senate than the governor, but now he could obviously do more good for the state running for governor, but yeah, I don't understand.
I was just interested who the Democrats put up for governor, because during the last election, my goodness, you had Cordray, you had Dennis Kucinich, you had Justice O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had people who really had strong name recognition in the state of Ohio, and you had three of them. I mean, it was a competitive primary. Rich Cordray ended up winning it. But there was no enthusiasm at all in the Democratic primary this particular time. And it showed in the vote.
Yeah.
I mean, double the number of Republicans showed up for the primary than Democrats.
And that's one of the things that just irritates the heck out of me, being a Democrat, is that our Democratic people in the state have thrown in the towel and said, oh, the heck, we have no chance to win. Bull, get out, you can win. Look what Stacey Abrams has done in Georgia. They had no chance to win 4 years ago. Look what they've done.
Well, again, this is not an this is not an opinion, it's an analyzation. When people keep telling me, oh, it was just a primary and more money was spent by the Republicans and they had a tougher challenge, they had more people run. Yes, all that's true. It is absolutely true that the gubernatorial primary on the Republican side was very contentious. Certainly the Senate race on the Republican side was very contentious. But my question is, if you really are in love with Nan Whaley, if you really are in love with Tim Ryan, they did have opponents. Why didn't you come out in the primary and vote?
Mm-hmm. Well, my wife and I did vote, and we've given money to both of those candidates, so I guess we've done what we can do.
The number's 50% to Republicans. That's a bad sign.
Yeah, yeah, sure is. I'm disappointed.
You know, I'm not sure if he could, because I don't know if he still keeps a residence in Ohio, but I'll tell you who could have won, and people will laugh, Jerry Springer.
Yeah, he might have. Yeah,
he's off television. He's got huge name recognition. He is an absolute Democrat, and he's held political office here in Ohio before. He was his mayor, just like Whaley and the other guy.
He could have won just like Trump did, out of name recognition alone, I think.
Well, yeah, but in this particular case, he did have political office.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So that would have been, I believe, it would have fit into that celebrity mold that Dr. Oz is in right now. But you know what? That works.
You know, Jerry Springer and I sat down when he was here in town for, I don't know, 10 minutes, because I was, at the time that he was in town, I was contemplating running for office. And we talked, and a lot of people think of him as a buffoon, but he is not a buffoon. He's a very bright man, and he would have been a good one if he still had residence here. And I don't know that he does, though. Are you there?
You know, I don't. That's a good question. None of these people. You know what I have found, and maybe this last week we had this long conversation about not giving opinions and why people give opinions and so on and so forth. And we don't need to rehash that, but what you said was just very interesting, because I have interviewed Governor DeWine, I've interviewed Governor Strickland, I've interviewed Governor Celeste, I've interviewed Nan Whaley, who could be governor, I've interviewed Cordray, I've interviewed every gubernatorial candidate, Hoop Blystone, Renacci, all these people. Now, here's the thing. Jim Jordan, Sherrod Brown, they've all been on. The point is, Governor Gilligan, I even go back that far with Governor Gilligan.
Mm-hmm.
When you sit down with them, Kucinich, when you sit down with them, the R and the D fades away.
Mm-hmm.
I have not met one that I personally dislike. Now, obviously, I have my own opinions. I don't share them on the air. But if we're talking about as a human being, they're not bad people.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've talked with most of those that you said, not as an interviewer, but I absolutely agree with you. I like most every one of those that you said as a person.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Dennis Kucinich. I don't know if I've told this story often on the air.
Okay.
You know, we're Marion, Ohio, WWGH, and because that primary last gubernatorial race 4 years ago was so contentious between Kucinich and Cordray, with Kucinich getting in last minute, the debate was a big deal. And I believe they had the debate up in Akron. And I thought, well, why don't we cover this? Because they wanted people to cover it, and I thought, well, why not us? So we got the press credentials, and we went up to Akron to cover that debate. Now, I had been trying to get Dennis Kucinich on and bombarding his press people, because he came in late, and he was the only one we had not had on. And his press manager, Mr. Jankowicz, Andy Jankowicz, said to me, he said, you know, as soon as we come off the stage, you got the first interview because you're very persistent. Okay, that's great. We're up there. We're up in Akron. So I'm sitting in the press room, and the television stations are there. The big newspapers are there. Bigger radio stations than us are there. And a matter of fact, you know, we're like three rows back in the press room. Dennis Kucinich walks in the – and he – people felt he won the first debate, even to the point to where Cordray didn't even come in the press room. So Kucinich walks in the press room. He's clearly the most recognizable. He's clearly won this debate. And I'm thinking, well, you know, we'll get him, but he ain't walking over to us. Dennis Kucinich and his press man held up their hands and said, "Where's Scott Spears?" and walked him over and sat him down as the television stations and the newspapers are flipping and flashing and thinking, why's he going there for? So Democrat, Republican, that's the type of man he is.
Excellent story. Now, Bill O'Neill and I are still friends on Facebook, and I don't mean just Facebook friends. We kind of converse, and he's another guy like that that was in that contentious race, and he would have been I think he would have been an excellent choice, but he's kind of he might have been a good choice for us to run at governor, but he's kind of retired.
Well, Bill's comments, didn't he have some comments on women?
I don't recall that.
There was some dust up with him because I remember interviewing him and asking him about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he answered. It wasn't he had made some comment when he was a justice about women. And I don't remember what it was. But at the time, I remember it being a big deal.
He's kind of a flip kind of person. When you talk with him, he's looking for the humor in your discussions. And maybe he was being thought he was being humorous. We got to be a lot more careful anymore about humor around lots of things.
Yeah, and by the way, if anybody wants to call in, the number there at the studio is open. It'd be interesting to find out if Glenn can hear you,
yeah,
or you can hear
Glenn,
or whatever the problem we were having was. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Yeah, here it is. He had bragged about his conquests.
Oh,
and
that's not good.
Not a,
no.
Yeah.
That would not be
good.
Move. Oh, well, Bill, you screwed up there.
I don't know why he did that, and he apologized for it. I really don't know what that was about. It was a very strange comment to make.
It's interesting how, like, I told my wife a long time ago that the reason why people want to get into politics are sex, women, and power. Oh, no, sex, money, and power. Women is the sex thing. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean women, but anyway, that it still holds true. Hey, we got a phone call.
Oh, here, let's pray.
Okay. Let me see. I got to push the right button, though, don't I? Hi, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. Oh, shoot. Did I hit the wrong button?
The
little red thing. Hi, you're on the air.
Glenn Corn on the Cob, L.E., once again. Only I call you that, but I think it's kind of cool.
Okay.
No, I've mentioned this before. I would vote for Jerry Springer. I'd be the first in line. I don't really think he's that liberal. When you're the somewhat liberal mayor of a city known to be conservative, Roxanne Qualls being in the same situation, but she's to the left of Jerry. You moderate, and John Kasich did it as a governor of the state. It seemed like he was a Democrat by the time he was done, but he did a good job. Not the most articulate guy out there, but he's great with the economy.
He did.
Jerry Springer, you're right. Very, very smart man. Don't let the TV nature.
Yes.
Well, yeah. You know, he and Donald Trump, roughly the same age. I mean, some similarities. You don't really take them too seriously and kind of being in the reality or non-reality business. But I think Jerry could take care of Donald on an IQ test. And certainly he's well-educated. And, you know, he did that, bounced the check to the prostitute, but no one's perfect. I don't fault him for that.
Scott's trying.
I'm for legal prostitution anyway, so I really don't even care.
Scott's trying to get through to you, Adam. Take a listen here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, let me turn Alexa, turn the music off. Okay, let me see if I can hear Scott. I can hear you. The volume's kind of faint, but I'm at home, so it's quiet.
Oh, good. So you can hear Glenn okay?
Not really well, Scott. I got you at full volume. Let me be sure I'm at full volume here. Yeah, I can't. I hear you. I hear your voice in the background, but I can't make out what you're saying.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Let's hope we don't get
that. Can you relay what he says, Glenn? I hear you're fine. You're nice and loud. Can you relay what Scott says?
Well, that's
says?
All we need.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah. Well, no, it's curious.
Yeah, I've said it before. Jerry Springer for governor, easily.
Hang on. Let me hear what Scott's saying.
Yeah, Adam has said on his shows that he would not vote for Nan Whaley because he believes she's too progressive, kind of like what Jim Renacci said.
Okay, Scott's saying that you think Nan's too progressive, so yeah, hang on.
But he just said he would vote for Jerry Springer, who I believe's policies are as far progressive or more progressive than Nan Whaley's, so what's the difference?
Scott thinks that Nan Whaley is farther to the right than Jerry Springer. What do you think about that?
She's a mask lover. Nathan had a strict mask ordinance. And
what
I can't
does that have to do with anything, Adam? You got to get off that mask
lover.
Crap.
Masks are dangerous.
Oh, jeez.
Don't work. I've actually overestimated.
I may have to
work.
Cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, you know how I feel about masks.
I do, and I think it's ignorant. Go ahead.
I feel the same, but we can still be friends.
I know.
Mature, intelligent people can do that.
Okay.
Wait a second.
Still shake hands and be friends. I mean, that's what America's all about. Hearing an interview with Scott, she's not my cup of tea. I'd love to see a female governor, but she wouldn't be the one.
Can we
get
to
Jerry, for sure. He's a great speaker. I mean, he's got plenty of experience.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I vote for him in a heartbeat. I don't see a D or R in front of his name at all. I see a well-known person who doesn't mind stirring the pot when needed. We need that.
I turned off the speaker, so we're not getting that humming. So maybe he can hear you better now, Scott. Go ahead.
Can you hear me, Adam?
Slightly better, but it's still very faint.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. What I'm saying.
Yeah, I can't. My air conditioning is louder than you are. You'll have to relay, Glenn. I can't hear him well enough to.
Okay. Hang on.
You're loud and clear. I can turn the volume down.
Okay. Hang on.
Quick one here. Quick one. Is that what I'm saying? Forget the mask thing for a second, because I think Jerry Springer supports the mask issue as well. So my question is, why against Nan Whaley, which you have said that you would not vote for her because she is too liberal, but Jerry Springer, if you listen, I've interviewed him, he's just as liberal or more liberal, so why him and not her? Because he does, forget the mask thing for a second, because he feels the same way. So what's it you say you wouldn't vote for Nan, but you would vote for Jerry? Why?
What do you see as the difference between Nan and Springer, just throwing the mask out, is that the only difference?
Yeah, it's just like with Cordray, he has not commented about what he would do with the masks, and he's certainly very moderate. I think we would agree he's to the right of both of them. Like Springer, very smart. You just know he's smart because, well, he's a TV person, too, being on Jeopardy. Springer, well, you know, depends how you interpret his show. And now he's a judge, so he's a man of many skills, I guess. Of course, you don't know till they go in office. DeWine, traditionally, is a conservative, and I think he'll go back to that. I don't think he's a rhino at all. He'll go back to that in his, if there is a second term, and I suspect there will be. In fact, I suspect a landslide. I think Springer, he's just seen enough characters, and he's older. I think he'll see all sides and want to feel that everyone in Ohio is on the same side. And we don't have that right now, either in the state or in the country, as I think you would agree, Glenn.
Yep, absolutely.
And Springer, I don't see him as a mask lover, no. I don't think he would do what DeWine did or what Whaley would do.
Okay,
Adam?
Let me hear Scott. Go ahead, Scott.
Very quick. Adam, go to Facebook, go to YouTube.
Go to Facebook.
Jerry Springer episode in which he tells the guy to wear a mask.
Okay, apparently Springer told a guy on one of his episodes to wear a mask. So
right, and I don't know enough. And, you know, he might have done it just to incite violence. Or, you know, I make a joke. Some people are just so ugly they should wear a full body mask.
That's me.
Not you at all, Glenn. I'm thinking actually, there's actually two female politicians that are in that category. You probably know which ones I'm referring
Lord.
To. But you know, but that's also because I don't like their politics, especially one I have some liking for, but she's fallen out of favor. One I think should be locked up. So that's a different category altogether.
Okay.
I mean, I've not seen everything, and I don't expect perfection, but there are just things about Springer, Glenn, that I think are appealing.
Okay.
And you like with Jesse Ventura being the governor in Minnesota, someone who's been in show business and has a bit of a crazy reputation. There's charisma attached, and our last two governors don't have a lot of charisma. You know, well, I think Celeste had some.
We've got plenty of crazy in our politics right now.
Yeah.
I don't think we need more.
I think you'd agree, though. I mean, think what you want about DeWine. He's kind of boring.
He's boring.
Somewhat boring. Springer certainly wouldn't be boring, just like Jesse Ventura wouldn't be. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
I question Schwarzenegger's competence, certainly question Ventura's, but certainly Jerry Springer has the on-paper qualifications. I mean, he's a lawyer. He was a big city mayor. He's got a judge show on now. So you know he's intelligent, but will that buffoonery be something which would be a disqualifier?
I mean,
he's in his 70s. I mean, the time is now if he wants to be in office. I don't think he wants to be. I think he likes the judge show. I think it's a good compromise between some of the craziness and unexpected nature and the ability to be a lawyer and be a...
Let him know the judge show got canceled.
The judge show got canceled, Scott says.
Okay. Well, shows what I know. But I mean, I haven't watched it in a while, but it was on.
Okay.
But, you know.
Till the ball.
It was actually pretty good, but you would expect he's got the personality for it. But, Jerry Springer, I'm sure he's got enough money to retire and just hang low for a while, but who knows?
Yep.
You don't know what he might have up his sleeve. And I think he is someone who's, as you would agree, Glenn, a big figure in Ohio pop culture.
Sure he is. Hey, I'm going to let you go because we got to get back to Scott here. Okay. I can't hear him. Okay.
See you later.
Thanks.
Bye bye.
Okay, now wait a second. Now, what was the difference? I didn't hear it.
He just thinks that Springer is more in tune with those who are closer to the middle of the road than Nan Whaley, and I think he's basing that on the mask thing.
But like I said, Jerry Springer, you can go to YouTube and watch the show. He says, yelled at a guy. He said, "Wear a mask."
I'm paraphrasing. Said. He knew that, but that didn't seem to offend. He thought it might be because he was trying to get more controversy going. Hey, I got another phone call, Scott. Let me go to the phone here if I can figure out how to get my fingers in here. Okay. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Glenn, are you going to talk to Feinstein after a while?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. What would you like to...
About the assassination of... plot against George W.
I did, but only briefly. Yeah.
And the guy's from Columbus.
I didn't know he was from Columbus. Yeah.
He was going to bring in.
Can you hear Scott?
Yeah, I can hear Scott.
Okay, Scott.
Can you hear me through the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it was that. So you can hear
me. Not great,
but
I can hear you better on the radio than I can through the phone.
Yeah.
Right, but you can hear me.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're going to have a Dr. Feinman the show then. You can hear me and you can hear Glenn, right?
Yeah.
Oh, then we'll be good. We're good.
So I'm just wondering, you know, what Feinman's going to say about that.
What do you think, Scott?
Well, I would hope he would not be in support of an assassination attempt.
Yeah,
of
course not.
A president.
Yeah.
Well, no, I don't care for George W. either, but I'm not in favor of assassination attempt. Maybe a good whipping him. No.
Well, what do you make
but
of Nancy?
They're going to bring those people in from the, you know, the Mexican border. Now, see, I think that's the biggest thing that Trump has with people is wanting to control the borders and these people coming over here.
Yeah, but we've never controlled them, ever, under any president.
Well, we've done better under Trump than we...
Maybe.
Yes, we have.
Well, at least that's what his stats said.
Hey,
go ahead, Adam.
I have a question. What did you make of what Renacci had to say this morning about DeWine? That, hey, you know, Husted is taking money and he's...
I think that's wrong.
But yet, Nan Whaley cannot win this, so they don't care.
I think it's totally wrong for him to be sitting on those boards. I don't care, Republican, Democrat, or what. You know, especially second in charge in the state. That's definitely wrong.
You think Nan Whaley's got a chance?
I think she does. I worry she don't, but, I mean, I'm definitely going to vote for her. I mean, well, being a woman, you know, with that stigma that they go through, she's going to be prodded and poked and stuff just like Hillary Clinton. And people's going to, you know, think, you know, the worst of her, and
they're going to call her whiny. That's unfortunate.
It's just, hopefully she can overcome it like Mary Ellen Withrow had done in her, you know, politics.
And Mary Ellen is absolutely not whiny.
No.
She's a great lady.
I've never met her, but I've gotten to know her some, listening to the radio here.
Sure.
And I would love to meet her sometime.
Well, maybe we can arrange that.
And then we also got this new shooting that maybe callers might want to talk about. But
yeah, I think we probably will talk about that in the second half. We're down to our last minute, though, so I got to let you go.
Okay.
And we'll try to keep up with you.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Scott. Yeah.
I feel good. They can hear you. They can hear me, so there shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, and you are down a little bit. You're not as loud as I usually expect you, but you're fine.
and they can hear you loud and clear.
Absolutely. I got it cranked up.
So no problem with Dr. Feynman today? And
I hope not.
Whatever I did must have fixed the problem.
I hope so. Absolutely. If not, we'll let you know. Dr. Feynman said he couldn't do it again if it goes like that. And my wife looked at me. I had him on speakerphone. She looked at me and kind of rolled her eyes. So.
I got a message from him, too. I think there was a little bit...
he was angry.
I'm not even going to speak on it. Because it will not be... received pleasantly, even though I don't mean it negatively.
Yeah, I understand. And we've taken care of it. So, hey, we're down to our last 10 seconds. We better get out of here. What do you think?
Listen, anybody who's ever worked in radio should know we do experience technical difficulties from time to time.
Tune back in 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his role of Lou Grant on The Mary Tyler Moore